All right. Well, thank you all for coming and welcome to my session. My name is Greg Wong. I'm the CEO of Ruyi, and forgive me if I have a hoarse voice. I've been in one-on-one sessions literally since 9 o'clock in the morning till right now, so it's a little bit hoarse, but we'll try and get through this. I changed around this deck a little bit after seeing a number of people's other decks, over the last couple of days, and I put the numbers up to start. I usually have this towards the end, but wanted to give a little bit about that, then I'll go into who we are and what we do. But over the last trailing 12 months, up to June 30th, we did about $4.22 million. We're a Canadian company, but we do report in U.S. dollars. So for a little over $4.2 million in revenue. That's up 15.6% over the last 12 months, so pretty well. 37% recurring revenue, $2.07 million in cash in the bank, no debt, and only 18 million shares outstanding. So overall, really strong cap table, strong company, no debt, and a growing business. So now we've talked about some of the numbers, we can touch back on them a little bit later. Who is Ruyi and what do we do? So Ruyi's vision is to help the world make better decisions by being the most trusted and transparent source of unique global data, predictive insights, and actionable intelligence. And we do that by providing a market research platform to the industry that incorporates multiple research methodologies, including quantitative, qualitative, and neuroscience all into one platform coupled with audience. What that really means is we've got this platform that we bring in global audiences around the world, and we enable researchers, whether they're in packaged goods, academic, financial services, or others, to get really high-quality data. The important part about this slide is, in our vision, is we do really, again, three things I want to focus on: unique global data, predictive insights, and actionable intelligence. And I'm going to kind of give an example to explain what that really means. So earlier this year, a number of hedge funds hired us to track the Argentinian election. They wanted to understand who's going to win, and they wanted to understand how to trade based on that. So they hired us first from a unique data to leverage our platform and our unique methodologies to understand the broadest demographic and regional distribution within Argentina of citizens to find out how did they feel about elections, who did they think is going to win, were they going to vote, and what were the key issues. That was the unique data. We then moved into the predictive insights. Leveraging our platform, we were able to tell them weeks in advance who was going to win the election. If you kind of go back and look at earlier this year, all the media had predicted one candidate was going to win. We predicted someone else, and we got it right. We've done this a couple of times. In 2016, we predicted Trump was going to win. Even though Hillary won the popular vote, we predicted based on the electoral college that Trump was going to win, and we were right. So we do this a lot in elections, in academic work, and in a lot of different areas, but that was the predictive insights. Where we then have migrated is to also now provide actionable intelligence. And the actionable intelligence for us, leveraging our platform, was here's the data, here's what people are saying, here's who's going to win. And by the way, when Milei wins the Argentina election, this is what it will mean for currency. This is what it will mean for inflation. This is what it will mean for immigration. This is what it will mean for core industries that you are invested in. So our platform is a market research platform that enables you to not only collect data, but gather insights, then understand how to use those insights for your objectives, whether it's in financial services, trading, and we work with the BlackRocks and Millenniums into their trading models, whether it's an academic who's looking to understand whatever they need to know, whether it's a government that wants to understand taxation or other types of issues, or we do a lot in international development and NGOs on things like gender-based violence, water security, food security, all around the world. So what is the problem that we're really trying to address? There's really three major problems that market researchers struggle with today. The first one is superficial insight. If you look at most market research firms, they're able to do a basic quantitative survey. And a good example would be if I was looking to launch a moisturizer for men in British Columbia. Traditional market research will tell you there's 5 million people in BC, 49.5% of them are men, so you've got about 2.5 million men in BC. 29% of those men care about skincare, so you're down to about 750,000 people as your target audience. That's what traditional market research will tell you. What Ruyi can do is bring in non-conscious values as well. We, through our surveys and our platform, we will track not only what people say, we will have them turn on their cameras on their phone or on their laptops, and we'll track their micro expression. We will find out, do people care about skincare? Do they care about, why do they care about it? Do they feel they want to gain their youth? Are they worried about aging? Are they worried about wrinkles? Are they trying to attract a partner? What are the reasons? What are they feeling? Not just about what they're saying. And in market research or packaged goods, if you're going to launch a product, you really want to understand not only what people say, but also what they feel. That combination of analytics can really help you launch the right product. The next thing is reaching global audiences. So in market research, one of the key things is being able to reach the consumers or the B2B or the healthcare type people that you want to reach to really understand. So Riwi has a global platform that enables us to do that. But most researchers will generally, if they want to go and do some market research, they'll go into a large city like Vancouver and they'll survey people on the street or whoever they can get. There's not enough data. A good example, 30,000 new products are launched every year in North America. There's a 95% failure rate on those products. 95%, imagine, 95% of all products launched, of new products launched in packaged goods, fail in the same year that they're launched. The reason for it is the research. When people go and they cannot talk to the right people, they're not able to get right demographics. They may go into a place and get, you know, men between 18 and 30 that are white. They may not get women of a certain age or gender. They may not get people in rural areas. They may not get people that are older or younger. So if you really want to do proper market research, you need to be able to get access to the right audience. Our platform provides global reach, 229 countries, 2 billion survey responses across all demographics, age, income, sex, across the board. And there's also a lack of integrated research methodology. In market research today, majority of companies are highly specialized. You're a quant firm, you're a qualitative firm. You do one type of research. The problem is if you're a packaged goods provider, you're a retailer, and you want to understand something, you generally need to combine multiple research methodologies into one process in order to make the right decisions. You might need to do a quantitative survey, you may also need to do some qualitative interviews that are 30, 45 minutes to really understand what's happening. And researchers today are generally left their own devices to make that happen. They'll do a quant survey over here, they'll do a qual survey over here, and they'll bring it together, and often they'll get conflicting ideas and conflicting information because no one's bringing this all together to help them make the right decision. Riwi provides a completely integrated end-to-end supply chain market research platform, everything from bringing in the global sample. So if I'm looking for, and we just did a project for a software company that sells product information management systems, they were looking for an audience of manufacturers or distributors, a billion plus. They were looking for people in marketing, merchandising, product management, e-commerce, or IT, and they wanted access to that specific audience. In other cases, we're doing projects where you want to get to nurses and cardiovascular surgeons. In other cases, you want people in China or other areas to get that complete audience. Our platform has access to B2B, B2C people all over the world. We also combine both traditional market research methods and non-conscious research methods all into one singular platform. So when you're looking at these different types of research methods, they can actually work together and play off of each other, and you can leverage those different methods to make the best possible decisions. And then this all comes together in one fully integrated AI-based platform that enables researchers to do more research faster and more cost-effective. Some people care about budgets, but in market research, many of the cases, customers are looking for, how can I do more faster? And if I can launch a product faster, I can generate more revenue quicker. If I can launch it in the right location or the right geography, I can make sure that I make the right decisions. Riwi brings one fully integrated market research platform, completely AI-powered, to support that market. So we separate our revenue and our portfolio into three different revenue types. We have recurring revenue, revenue that is long-term contracts. People pay us either on a monthly or an annual basis, and it keeps going. We have transactional revenue. This is where we match survey respondents and audiences to other people's market research objectives or surveys, and every time they do it, we get a transaction fee. And we have product-based revenue. Our revenue is split about one-third, 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 but our recurring revenue is split between data as a service and software as a service. Our data as a service are our own surveys that people just subscribe to get access to. If you're looking for information on things like consumer confidence, retail spend, for example, we will collect that data and make it available prior to coming out from the official indices. People can trade on those type of things. Our software as a service is people accessing our platform, again, direct access to that platform so they can leverage to do all their research needs. Our transactional revenue, I just talked about, a project revenue would be us just doing projects. When a customer has a need for a certain type of information, they want to know, should I launch this product in China? Should I launch this product in British Columbia? We can go and launch complete surveys, help them figure out what the survey should look like, program the survey, launch it, and then do all the analytics to help them understand their research objectives. So this is I won't go through this slide in any detail, of course. This is what our platform looks like. Like, there's a lot of detail and a lot of complexity built into the platform. But what we really do is we make it simple. And if you, not sure if you can read it, but at the top is really the five major points, which is we connect our customers to their global audiences. We augment their research and their audiences with synthetic data. Synthetic data is AI-generated data that is not from real people, but it's based on profiles and historical information that people are now using to make better research decisions. The interesting thing about synthetic data is there's a 95% correlation rate to actual real people. Shocking, right? But 95% correlation rate. We also integrate third-party data into our platform, like in the case of the Argentinian elections, in order to be able to tell the customer, with Milei winning, what would that mean on immigration, on inflation, on tax, and all those type of things. We had to bring in all the platform of those various candidates. We also have our own data. So RIWI has a database of 2 billion survey responses in our database over 20 years across a whole variety of topics, whether they're economic topics, healthcare topics, political topics, business topics that we can now leverage to also help our customers augment the research. And then we consolidate it into this one platform, which enables them to get better analysis, better results. So again, we take all of the complexity of all the different pieces in here, and really, if you boil it up, you do those five things: connect, boost, integrate, leverage, and consolidate. So we track three key metrics as a company. Every business has obviously many, many more metrics, but these are the three metrics that we track, that we focus on, that we report on, and that management is completely based on: revenue, recurring revenue, and EBITDA. So as you look at potentially an investment in RIWI over time, these will be the three metrics that we're focused on: growing revenue every quarter, growing recurring revenue every quarter, and our profitability. Those are the three things. Lots of other things we'll talk about, but those are the three things that we really focus on and that we ask everyone to hold us accountable to. We also have two major pillars of growth. So we are focused both on organic and M&A growth. So we have on our organic, it's a very traditional organic. We focus on building our brand with customers, building out our customer segments, building out and expanding geographically, and expanding our customer segments. The biggest driver right now for growth, organic growth gets us 10 to 15% growth per year. M&A is going to be the bigger growth driver that will get us to 30, 40, 50% growth year over year. And we are absolutely focused on making 1 to 2 acquisitions every year. Our M&A focus is very much around expanding our capabilities of our platform, providing us more leverage on any individual customer segment where we get more scale, and driving up margins in those areas. From an M&A perspective, I always like to say we are very committed from an M&A, that any M&A deals we do will always be to increase revenue and profitability per share. We don't look at M&A unless it can do revenue and profitability per share. Everything is looked at on a per share basis, and we are very much curating the deals that we look at and how we leverage cash, how we leverage financing as we move forward. We also get asked a lot about our addressable market. So what's our addressable market? So we play in three different markets today. The market research market is $81 billion. The res tech, or kind of research software market, is $63 billion. And the alt data industry, which is really a financial services area for data, is $7 billion. Combined, it's about $150 billion and growing. RIWI is a 4.2 million USD company as of June 30th on a trailing 12-month basis. What I tell everyone, it doesn't matter if the industry is growing, which it is, or if it's shrinking. At 4.2 million revenue, it's on us to execute, to achieve growth. Even if the market just doesn't grow or even shrinks at our size, it's a pure execution whether we grow or not. We have so much room to grow in this market to even be before we even have to worry about the macro trend. The market in 2022 and 2023 was really bad for market research. RIWI still grew. Again, it's we're so small relative to the size of the market. There's lots and lots of opportunity, but the market is growing. From a customer perspective, we work in five customer segments: NGO and government, which is really the legacy of Ruby, doing a lot of work around the world in various countries on everything from, again, health topics, immigration topics, humanitarian topics. We were in Afghanistan, pulling to find out what was happening when the U.S. Army was pulling out to help customers understand or help the government and various social service organizations understand what was happening to people. We were in Ukraine after the war broke out, finding out where were people migrating to, what was happening, where were they going, what were the issues that they were facing so the UN could come in and provide better help, better aid, better food safety. We are in most major conflict zones as long as there's internet access. We do require internet access, so in the Gaza, for example, we have no ability to do anything in Gaza right now because there's just no internet access. But pretty much every other conflict zone in the world, we often get hired to do projects to help people in need. We do a lot with academics. Harvard, Vanderbilt, MIT, Cambridge, Berkeley. We're doing lots of research projects for a lot of different academics. And the nice thing about the academics is they don't always have recurring projects, but they'll often have a project. We have an 80% rebuy rate. Once they leverage us once, they buy us again. And they tend to write about us and put us in a lot of academic papers. That gives us a lot of credibility in the market. Financial services is one of our biggest growth areas. We work with people like Millennium, BlackRock, Rokos, Bank of America. And in financial services, we tend to fit right into their trading model. So we're not doing on the Marcom side of financial services. We are truly on working with the asset managers, the investment managers, the chief investment officers as inputs into their trading models, specifically around geopolitical risk. We do a lot of work. We also do things on various asset classes and certain commodities that are very consumer friendly. We work a lot in market research companies, and consumer brands is a newer area since we made one of our acquisitions, but it is probably our fastest growing area as far as product packaging, product launches. People are coming to us to capture not just the traditional market research methods, but also all of the non-traditional, the non-conscious methods, because that is really what helps decide if people will really buy your product. Whatever they say, people's facial expressions cannot lie. They're micro expressions about whether they feel fear, anxiety, hope, excitement. Those micro expressions or their eye tracking on devices is what helps you understand what are people truly feeling, not just what they say. And bringing those two things together, what people say as well as what they feel, is really what maximizes the chance of a product being successful. Again, the numbers, maybe the only other thing I'll mention that I haven't not said on this one is we've made two acquisitions since 2022, and we continue to be acquisitive. It continues to be part of our growth strategy as we focus on growth. I will also just mention from a revenue perspective, back in 2021, we were 100% project-based revenue. We were smaller, but 100% project-based revenue. We made the decision at the end of 21 that we needed to de-risk the company and start growing our recurring revenue. And as you can see, the trend over the last couple of years was to give us a much more diverse revenue base. We went from 100% project to, in 2023, about 30%, 33% project, 33% recurring, 33% transactional revenue. Give us a lot more security and a lot more ability to not have to resell everything every single year. And if you look at the first half of 24, we're at 37% recurring. So it's been growing, and we've been de-risking and following that strategy of sell the platform, sell the data, get people to continue to leverage this technology on an ongoing basis. Just quickly, from a management team, we've got a pretty tenured management team. I've been there 3 years, but I've got about 30 years in IT leadership. Travis Campbell, our CFO, is about 30 years in progressive finance roles. Dimitri Gaida came from one of our acquisitions. He's our chief product officer, and he's an absolute visionary in neuromarketing and overall product. Alton Ng built our original technology, and it's been with us over 10 years. And the board is a pretty significant board. David Kincaid on the left, he's in the Marketing Hall of Legends here in Canada. Lenny Murphy is one of the top three market research, most sought after experts in the industry. Neil Siemens, the original founder of the company, and Annette he's here locally in Vancouver, and former CFO. She's the chair of our board, chair of our audit committee, and a very diligent finance expert. In summary, we are a market research platform. What's truly different about us is we support the entire supply chain of market research, from getting the audience, all the different types of research methodologies, all integrated into one platform. We take the complexity and make it simple, and it's all AI powered and based. And that's complemented with a database of 2 billion survey responses that we own, that we provide the ability to make available to our customers. We integrate these different research methodologies. We access hard to reach populations. We're a growing company. We have also committed to the market that we will be run rate profitable from Q4 of this year on. So we have, out of the last 4 quarters, we had 2 quarters that were profitable, 2 that had small losses, but we have committed to the market as of Q4. So starting on Tuesday, from that time on, we will be run rate profitable on an ongoing basis. We've got 5 minutes left, so I'm going to stop there and see if there's any questions.
One second. What's your average deal size on?
Yeah, so it depends on customer segment. If you look at our international development, it's probably about $50,000. If you look at most government deals, it's probably closer to about $150,000. If you look at packaged goods companies, it's probably around $30,000. If you look at academics, it's about $12,000. You know, typical margins, transactional revenue is about 45%, project revenue is about 65 to 75%. And recurring revenue, the nice thing about that is it grows with every additional customer, because once we've collected data once and we sell to the next customer, there's no marginal cost. Right now, it's at about 80% gross margin and growing.
Sorry, I have a multitude of questions.
Sure.
What's the competition like?
So there's no one that competes with us across all of our vectors. We have competition in different areas. So in the market research space, for example, the biggest competitors will be companies like Cint and Dynata. Cint's about $1 billion company. Dynata is about $750 million. But they're both customers and competitors. So we live in this world of co-opetition in market research. In the alt data space, so in financial services, there'll be people like CoreSight and other firms. In academic, it'll be like Qualtrics or RedCap. So we have different competitions in different areas. But the way we think about ourselves is, and I don't know if anyone here is familiar with the ERP market, but in the ERP market, and I come from that space back when I first started my career, I was an SAP consultant, but back in the 70s, ERPs were the best company for financial services, for your finances, the best company that provided you HR solutions, the best for supply chain, the best for, planning optimizations in plans, but no one provided the whole thing. SAP came in and they were the best in nothing. They were the best across everything. Riwi is following a similar model. There's all these market research firms that do all these individual things. No one does everything. So we have no competition that does absolutely everything. We have competition in individual areas. We believe over time that the fact that we do everything, start with us here. Oh, I want to do that. I can just expand it easily with Riwi. I don't need a new MSA. I can just use it, just give them a new order form. We believe that will win.
Next question. How many employees do you have? And also, I saw you have a branch in Israel.
We don't have a branch in Israel. We have about 30 people today. We have about 20% in Canada. The rest are primarily in Latin America, so in Colombia, Venezuela, Argentina, and Peru. We have a small office in Istanbul. That's more of a development office. And then we have a couple people in Portugal, as well as in the UK. So we're about 30 people overall. We're quite spread out. We're primarily remote. People go into the office in Toronto. Those are there. Maybe once every week or every 2 weeks, but yeah, we're essentially spread out. But we have no one in Israel. We have a partner, David Wu, who's the former chief of FX at Bank of America. He's one of our partner on one of our data series. He's in Israel, formerly from New York, but now he lives there. But no, we don't have anyone ourselves there.
And one more question. Does your platform currently integrate any AI in it? I mean, like ChatGPT or Copilot?
So we have AI that at the bottom part of our platform that's leveraged for facial expression analysis. So when we turn on the platform and we're asking you questions and we're gathering the facial stimuli, that the AI will interpret these little expressions that you might make. So it's not ChatGPT, it's some other AI. I'm not sure which part it is, but all the AI is what interprets all those facial analyses. But we don't have it as far as like a ChatGPT. We've looked at it for things like survey design, survey building. I'll be honest, it's an easy use case, but it's just not a big pain point or a big value step for us. So we're focusing AI more in the future outside of that on the analysis. So we collect all this data. How do we identify patterns in that data or across different research projects so we can give you better and better insights. That is more where we're focused from an AI perspective. We got 1 minute left. Time for one more? So it's funny, I just got the report on it. What our report, because we are tracking the U.S. election, Harris is leading nationally, but by a slim amount. We have several swing states where she's slightly leading. I think Montana is too close to call, and I'd have to go back and look at it. I read it for like a minute while I had a break before, but I just saw the latest report. So, but we are tracking it. Again, we've got it right since 16 and 20, and we'll get it right here as well. But it's less about the national. You need to look at the swing states and the electoral call, the Senate races. There's seven states on each that are the key ones where the entire election will be decided. So, and many of them are too close to call right now. Okay. Thank you.
Do you still have time for one-on-ones later?
Yeah, I'm going right back to the one-on-one, so I have another two or three more, and then time, I think, after four. So if anyone wants to come, stop by.
Great.